Baruch Mabam, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night's Parsha class. This week's Parsha is not going to be Achrimos because it's going to be Pesach. It's the holiday of Pesach. We're going to talk about the holiday of Pesach, a very important message, and hopefully some of us will be able to benefit from the details that are forthcoming in tonight's lecture. Right now, it's Yud Nisan Tav Shin Pei Beis, April 11th, 2022. Before we get to the discussion on the holiday itself, just a brief overview of some of the important halachas, the laws of Pesach and its rituals. So just to remind everybody that the obligation of doing bedikas chametz are done with a candle, and those people who prefer to do it with a flashlight, I actually start off with a candle, I make a bracha with a candle, and then I switch to a flashlight because it's better and safer. We should bear in mind the different times that we are allowed to eat our chametz and burn our chametz. It's in our Jewish calendar, exactly precisely when we're supposed to eat and have the chametz burned. Not to forget about mechilas chametz, to go and sell the chametz that we would like to store in our cupboards. And it would be very helpful if those cupboards would be clearly labeled that it's chametz or it's off limits for anyone to open up. Another idea is as far as the chametz is concerned, is not to forget to clean your garbage cans and to dispose of the vacuum cleaner bags that has probably a huge amount of chametz, and just in preparation for the holiday, just to open up your boxes of matzah. Some of the boxes are sealed, and therefore those boxes should be opened before Yom Tov, and to make it easy for you to make a Havdalah candle, which is used on the second night of Pesach, that's by the first Seder, the second Seder, we say Havdalah. I've come up with an idea that many people are actually adopting, and that is using a tea light, but prepare it before Yom Tov with an additional wick. And that wick can be made out of a toothpick. Just put the toothpick in the center, side beside the wick, and you can take a wire cutter and just snip it evenly with the wick, and you have a perfect Havdalah candle that's not dangerous, that can be moved around, and will last. First of all, it'll be quite bright for the first 90 seconds for sure, and you can use it for Havdalah. And you put it in a safe place with something hard, not plastic, soft plastic underneath it, and it'll burn for several hours. It's an idea. So actually speaking, this can be done with any tea light, and if you wish to prepare that before Yom Tov, that would be a good idea, so you don't have a problem with Havdalah during the Seder. Anyway, let's get now back to the holiday of Pesach, and let's talk about the greatest birthday party for the Jewish people. The night of the Seder is the birthday of the nation. That's the Am Segula to Hashem. It's Am Yisrael. It's their birthday. Why is it their birthday? Because that was the night when Paro has freed the Bnei Yisrael, chased them out of Egypt, and the Bnei Yisrael became free. The holiday has several famous names. It's called Chag HaPesach, Chag HaMatzos, Zman Chavaseinu, and Chag HaOviv. Chag HaPesach is called the holiday of passing over because that was the miracle where the firstborn of Paro's nation died at Makkos Bechoros, and the Jewish people were saved. Chag HaMatzos, it's called the holiday of the matzah, of eating matzah, because it represents how quickly the Ribbono Shel the Almighty, took us out of Egypt so quickly there wasn't even time to bake matzah. And it's called Zman Chereseinu, the time of our freedom. Each of these names stand for the holiday, what it represents, and the holiday of Pesach has in it the rays, the energy rays of Shamayim, of coming down to this world with all of its great attributes and blessings. I'd like to dwell on the name of Zman Chereseinu. It's the time of our freedom. It's the time when we were liberated from the terrible Egyptian bondage, that we were tortured and whipped by merciless Egyptians and taskmasters, and we were free from this kind of behavior, and Hashem freed us from Mitzrayim. It's Zman Chereseinu. Now, if you would stop and think, it's Zman Chereseinu, is it really, truly Zman Chereseinu, that we are free, completely free? Isn't it so that we have many, many obligations? The word freedom over here has to be explained. Yes, on a physical level, it is Zman Chereseinu. It's the time of our freedom, where we were freed from the physical bondage. But it was much more than that. We were freed also from the terrible influences, negative influences of the Egyptian culture, their idolatry, the immorality, the whole lifestyle, the whole culture of an Egyptian. We actually descended to the 49th level of impurity, of tumah, of unholiness. We're told that only 1/5 of the Jewish people survived, and the rest, the 4/5, didn't even want to leave. And they perished in the Makkah of Choshech. So there's more than just a physical redemption. We were redeemed as a Jewish people, as we were told that when Hashem, for the first time, met Moshe Rabbeinu by the burning bush, he told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro and to tell Paro, Shalach es ami ve'yavduni b'midbar. Tell Paro to send out my people so that they may serve me in the desert. So it wasn't just freedom for the sake of being free. It was freedom with a purpose. And as it's mentioned in Parshas Bahar, in Perek, Kaf Hei, Pasuk, Nun Hei, Hashem is saying, Ki li b'nei Yisrael, avodim, avodayim. The Jewish people are my slaves, are my servants. Asher hotzeisi otzem mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem elokecha, I'm Hashem your God. So the freedom that we're talking about is freedom from Egyptian culture, not just slavery, but Egyptian ideology, Egyptian immorality, the whole lifestyle of being a Jew. And we are very much aware that it came with challenges because they were actually at a very low level. When they crossed the Yam Suf, the Red Sea, wasn't so happy to split for them. As the Medrash says, B'Yamsuf was extremely angry. B'Yamsuf spoke to Hashem and says, Ma elu avdu avodah zarah, af halalu avdu avodah zarah, just like the Egyptians served idols. So did the Jews serve idols. That's how they reached such a low level. Why should I split for them? And as the Medrash goes on, it says, it's true. But they're going to be makabel the Torah. Their leaving Mitzrayim is not just for physical freedom, but it's for spiritual freedom as well. And they're becoming my servants. And therefore, as soon as the Yam Suf heard about that, that the Jewish people are on their way to be makabel the Torah, it split immediately. We are told of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, that the Jewish people had a mitzvah to count the Omer 49 days from the point of them leaving Mitzrayim until they arrived at Kabbalah HaTorah, Har Sinai. And we are told that 49 steps, 49 days, is 49 levels out of impurity, out of the Tumah, and into holiness. So it was really not just freedom for the sake of freedom. It was freedom for the sake of becoming Avdei Hashem. Now, if we take this from a secular point, and we look at the Jewish people and say, oh, the Jewish people celebrate Pesach because they became free. They say, what do you mean free? What are they free from? Maybe from the actual physical bondage, but if a person is committed to Judaism, where is his freedom? He has obligations from morning till night. He's not free to speak what he wants or to say what he wants. Laws of Shmira Salvashon, Lashon Hara, speaking inappropriately, speaking words of dishonesty. A person can't look at things what he wants and can't think the way he wants. He can't eat what he wants. He can't behave. His behavior socially is not the way he wants. He has other choices or other challenges and other desires. What kind of freedom is this? We have Taryag Mitzvahs. 613 mitzvahs, 248 positive mitzvahs, 365 negative mitzvahs. Where is the freedom over here? One could challenge. And that's what may be asked by a person who is not so committed and not understand what is this freedom all about. Is it that the Almighty just freed us just for the sake of freedom, to be free to do what we want, or free to serve Him? Well, the answer to this actually would come very clearly from the Chumash itself. When Hashem created man, and I'll quote you from the Pasuk Zayin Perek Beis, he was a composite of physical and spiritual. The Torah says, Vayitzah Hashem Elokim es ha'adam ofer min ha'adama, vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. Hashem formed man from the dirt of the ground, and He blew into him a nishmas chayim, a living soul. Vayi adam lenefesh chaya, and man became a living nefesh, a living being. And I'm actually echoing and repeating some of the shir that I heard of Reb Chaim Leib Epstein, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, the Rosh Hashiva of Zichrein Melech, and so beautifully speaks about this whole concept. We're talking about freedom. When we say it's Zman Cheresenu, are we referring to only physical freedom? It cannot be. Is that the whole reason why Hashem did the Ten Makas? Is that the reason why Hashem split the sea? No, it was for a higher purpose. It was to take us out of physical bondage and to place us as avodim, as His servants, and true freedom will come from something like that. So as he explains, the Torah is telling us that we were a composite of physical and spiritual, and there's a constant challenge between the two. The physical wants always more pleasures, more physical pleasures, and the spiritual wants always more spiritual pleasures, and it's a constant battle all the time. And the Torah wants us to understand that our goal, having been freed from bondage, is to achieve the goal is to use our resources, both the physical and the spiritual, to reach God's plan and to emphasize the spiritual over the physical. And we're always going to be challenged. And if we do that, then we will achieve freedom, true freedom. As it's brought down in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, it's Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. It talks about the Luchos, and I'll quote you the Pirkei Avos. It's actually a Braisa, and it says the following. V'haluchos ma'aseh Elokim hema, the Luchos were a deed of the Almighty, v'hamichtav michtav Elokim hu, and the writing was the writing of the Almighty, Uchavos al haluchos, that was carved out on the tablets. Says the Braisa, Al tikra charus el cheirus. Don't use, read the word charus, carved out, but read cheirus, freedom. She'en l'cha ben chorin, there is no person who is really, truly free, el amisha osik batalmud Torah, only to one who is engaged in learning Torah. V'chomisha osik batalmud Torah, harizem is Allah. Whoever is engaged in learning Torah, he rises to the top, and he is in control, and he is truly free. So it says in Pirkei Avos, to achieve true freedom is a person who is devoted to learning. And there, this tempers his physical body, his natural physical desires. And the Medrash in Koheles actually says a beautiful story on the pasuk v'gam hanefesh lo simale. It says over there on the pasuk, and the soul will never be filled. What that means, if you want to fill the soul with physical pleasures, there is never enough pleasure you can give the body. The more pleasure a person has, the more pleasure he wants. If he has $100, he's going to want $200. If he has $200, he's going to want double that. He's going to want $400. Never satisfy what he has. When you're talking about from the physical point of view, he's never happy. And he explains how this works. Since we were created with two opposing powers, two opposing entities, the physical and the spiritual. He gives a marshal as a bas melech, a daughter of a king. Here, this princess has been pampered all her life with the most delicious food and the most expensive dresses and the most exquisite environment and home and everything about it. And if this princess will suddenly get married to a peasant, and the peasant loves her, and he tries to enhance her life, as much as he would give her gifts and try to offer her things that in his mind should make her happy, she'll be discouraged and she'll turn her face away, because she is a completely different being. She's a completely different kind of a person. Doesn't even relate to the peasant. There's nothing that the peasant can give the princess that will really make her happy. The nimshal, the parallel that speaks to us, is that our neshama is the princess. And the peasant is our body, the physicality. There's nothing we could do to make our neshama full and happy. Begama nefesh lo simale. You can't fill up the nefesh with all the physical pleasures in the world, with all the money and the food and the vacations and every pleasure you can think of. It will not make the nefesh happy. Why? It's a completely different entity. And we're told, make the person feel free only through Torah learning. Torah learning, he'll be able to achieve that goal. We actually, without us realizing it, we actually say this in our Haggadah. When we say at the end of Magid, where we're just about ready to make Borei Pri HaGafen on the second cup of wine, there's a bracha that says, Asher Ga'alanu V'Galas HaVaseinu B'Mitzrayim. The last bracha, it ends off the following. It says, V'Noda L'cha, we will give thanks to you, Hashem, Shir Chadash, a new song, Al Ge'ulaseinu V'Al Pedus Nafshenu, on our physical redemption and on the redemption of our soul. We say it in the Haggadah, the reference of both. We were redeemed not only on a physical level, but we were redeemed on a spiritual level. And therefore, we have to ask ourselves, who is in the driver's seat? I once mentioned this mashal a while ago. If the body, the physicality, the drive of all physical pleasures is driving your emotions, your life, and the mitzvah is the passenger, then there's never enough physicality, there's never enough pleasure that's going to make you happy. But the more you have, the more you're going to want. We're always going to be hungry for more pleasure. It's like a person thirsty, and he's thirsty in the middle of a desert, and someone hands him a cup of salty water. For the moment, it's delicious. And suddenly he's dying out of thirst because he drank salty water. All the pleasures of the world in the mind's eye of a person who lives a physical freedom and he's not living a spiritual freedom is never fully happy. Very often, he's depressed. He's depressed because he can't fill his appetite with enough physical pleasures. Either he doesn't have the money and the resources to fill his appetite with all the pleasures. To the vacations that he loves to go to and buy the car or that he so anticipates and all the other things he wants. And it just makes him feel bad and he's jealous that his friend does have it. The physical drive. He wants to have all the physical pleasures and that makes him depressed. On top of that, he feels the depression of the neshama, who is not happy because it doesn't enjoy all the physical pressures that this person is giving the body. As a result, there are a lot of people who are depressed because they think in their minds that true freedom is doing what you want and having all the pleasures that you can possibly gorge yourself with. And at the end of the day, you're never satisfied and you never had enough. However, it works the opposite, completely the other way. If a person plays down the physical and he emphasizes the spiritual and he makes his life better, he improves his Torah learning, he improves his midos, and by improving his midos, he's improving his attitude in life. And his attitude in life is not to be wealthy and get more money and have more pleasures and have more stocks and have more vacations and have better cars. Know who's the rich man? Ezeho Usha? The Mishnah says, Hasameach Bechelkai, the one who is happy with his lot. That's why in benching, we don't say to Hashem in benching, you know, we want to have more food. No, that's not what we say in benching. If you turn to Birchas Hamazon, in benching we say something else. We thank Hashem that we shouldn't lack anything. Not to have, but the Torah attitude is not to need. We're not lacking anything, not to have. We're not lacking anything. We're asking, we just shouldn't lack. Whatever I have will be enough. We don't want to lack anything. And what do we end up saying in benching? We have the famous ending of the bracha. V'rachamim v'chayim v'shalom v'chol toi v'mikol tov li'aylam ol yechasreinu. We should never be deprived of the goodness. Whatever we have should be enough. We should only have enough. We don't ask Hashem, give us more. Give us more wealth. Give us more food. Give us more this or that. No. Look at the end of benching. We say in Yiras Hashem Kidoshav, we say, Kefirim Rashu V'ra'evu, the lions are hungry. Hashem and those who seek Hashem are not lacking any goodness. Everything they need, they have. Everything is to their disposal. So if the driver is the spirituality, if the driver is the Ben Torah, if the driver is the mitzvah goer, the driver is the chacham, who wants to know more and do more, like the Chacham in the Haggadah. We have four sons, we say, in the Haggadah. And the Chacham is the one who is out to grow, not the one who knows it all. A Chacham is the one who wants to grow and wants to do what he has to do, learn more and to be better and to improve his lot in his mitzvahs and Torah learning. Then, if he does that, then he's truly a Ben Chorin. Then he's truly blessed with all the goodness. How important that is. It's so, so very important. Let me quote a very, very important quote from Reb Aaron Cutler, Zeche Tzadik Levracha. Reb Aaron Cutler makes the following statement. Kol redifas ta'anugim. Whoever pursues in his lifetime pleasures, he is out to have a good time. And in his mind, that is how he celebrates Zman Chiruseinu, the time of our freedom. We're free! We're away from the Egyptian bondage. You know what happens? But then if that's what his goal is, right, then the Tanugim is only to come Lahafik es Atzis, only to maybe temper the depression that he's going through. You know, a person sometimes is upset, he is depressed, he eats a lot, and then he gets overweight. He has to keep himself busy, so he eats a lot, and he gnashes a lot. Why? Shabam mitorach hachoshach mitorach hachoymer. It comes because of the darkness that was a result of his physiology, his body. Everything is focused on his body, and he's trying to enhance and to feed his body more physical pleasures. You know what? That is, it's like drinking salt water in the middle of a desert. It's not going to provide you the right satisfaction. That's not going to do it. We are observing Zman Chiruseinu, and every year we have an opportunity to get a little bit more chirus, a little bit more freedom to our neshama by recognizing that the rays, these energy rays of chirus are beaming down from Shemayim onto each and every Jew. And we have the opportunity to cash in into this Cheruseinu. What is this Cheruseinu? The Cheruseinu is the one who learns Torah like I quoted before. Who is a Ben Chorin? Mi Shalomei Torah, one who learns Torah. And if a person learns Torah, then he's the driver and the physicality is the patient, is the passenger. The one who is the driver is the Ben Torah. And if his life is molded and guided by Torah, then he is truly a Ben Chorin. And we are celebrating both, like we mentioned in the Haggadah, that we mention at the end of this of Magid, we say that part of the bracha, Al Geulaseinu Al Pedus Navsheinu. We're not recognizing the physical freedom. Naturally, we needed physical freedom to be able to be free, free to serve Hashem. But when we are free to serve Hashem, then we become true free from the physical habits that we get involved. And we do have so many physical habits that are hurting us. And whether it's the habits of pleasure, we have to get all of our desires fed. We have all of the pleasures and the we're faced with trying to enhance our day with cell phones, and even though we're not talking about non-kosher cell phones, we're talking about only kosher and seeing the right things. But when we are feeding the physical, we are attending to addiction. We're attending continuously to physical, and we get into the habit, and it's so hard to break the habit. And the only way we can break physical habits that are entrenching us and our day and our families is through Torah learning, only through Torah learning. And we can if we try. I give you an example. It's of Yeruchim. The Amir Rosh Hashiva had gotten a letter from an important person, whatever, and he controlled himself and said, I'm not opening up the letter today. I'm going to open it up tomorrow. I want to just control and curb my desire to want to open up the letter. And he opened up the letter the next day. He had a burning desire to open it up the day he had got it in his hand, because in those days, letters were very scarce. They didn't come all the time. A person has a habit, physical habit. If he wants to gain control over it, he should make small commitments. I remember the Rosh Hashiva, the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, once said, I'm not sure to who he said it to. My brother, Yosef, used to be like a shtickle shamist of Manchester, Rosh Hashiva, Rav Segel, to tell. And I think either he told me or I heard it from somebody else, that the Rosh Hashiva's greatest pleasure of the day, was to control himself and to not give an in to his desire. Not a desire that's forbidden, but an other desire. Let's say he wants to have another portion of food. He says, no, I'm not going to have another portion of food. Let's say he wanted to do something that he had a desire to do. He said to himself, no, I'm going to control myself. Gedolim worked on their desires by curbing their desires slowly, they gained control. And the cheres comes from learning Torah, from learning Musa, instruction, by our Musa Svarim, and repeating it many, many, many times, and it slowly makes an impression. And the holiday of Pesach is the holiday of learning to become free. Free from the habits that we have a whole year. And let this holiday of Pesach, which is the Manche Resenu, be the beginning of curbing some of our habits, our physical habits, our kosher habits. Nothing but non-kosher habits, kosher habits. But it's a habit that takes away our freedom. And by doing that, we will be Be'ezer Hashem, blessed with true freedom. And year by year, we will be growing from level to level, Mechayel El Choyel, and eventually arrive to the level of Zman Chereseinu in the way that Hashem meant it to be and the way our holy Chachamim told us how to observe the holiday of Pesach. Have a wonderful Pesach. Have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. And I hope you all enjoy all of the mitzvahs that you'll be doing this Pesach. Chag Sameach. Be well.